Transcriber, my name is Eric Elliott. I'm with the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and this is an interview for the Women Veterans Historical Project at the university. Today is January the 4th in the year 2002 on a snowy day in North Carolina here in Julian, North Carolina. I'm at the home of Betty and Ralph Hemphill, and just want to thank you, Ms. Hemphill, for sitting down with me this afternoon and going over a time in your life when you were a part of the Women's Air Force. And so thank you for doing that on behalf of the school. I'm going to start off with you the same question that I ask of just about everybody that I talk with, and that's two simple points. Where were you born, and where did you grow up?
I was born in Five Points, which is close to High Points, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I grew up close to PTI, which was known as the airport whenever I was
PTI,
born.
PTI, Piedmont Triad International now, and they're about to expand it with the FedEx and everything else. But I guess when you, this was in the early 30s, when you were growing up in that area, was there a lot of air traffic over there?
No, we played on the runway.
That's a nice memory. So if you lived near an airport and you played on the runway, you must have grown up liking planes.
Not necessarily. I don't remember that. We just liked the big place to play.
No, big field. Tell me about your folks. What did they do?
They were farmers. I grew up on a farm.
Well, not everybody came through the Depression with these around here, but farmers probably, at least they had folks I've talked to who owned a farm, they seemed to do better than a lot of the folks in the city.
We had enough to eat.
Yeah.
We were not rich by any means, but we had enough to eat.
You were telling me before we started, you had a big family. You had eight brothers and sisters?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, where were you in that? We oldest, youngest, somewhere in the middle?
Let's see. Lorraine, Doris, Rena, Phyllis, Bud. I mean, I was the sixth. The sixth one.
Right. So did you go to school there? And we talked about it. Nowadays, folks call it Colfax. You pronounce it Colfax?
Colfax.
That's why the locals pronounced it. You went to school there in Colfax. You somebody who liked school growing up?
I liked the parts of it, like anything else. I have no objection to going to school.
You would have been, I guess, what, 8 or 9 when Pearl Harbor happened. Do you remember that?
It's 42. That part I do not remember, but I remember that there was soldiers stationed in tents close to the Greensboro High Point Airport. And they found where we lived, and in their wandering around through the woods, and they would come to the house and play with us. I remember that about it.
I know they had, I guess there was the embarkation thing in the town. What were they doing out there? I know there's a radar station that was over here near the airport. I guess for surveillance, either just securing all airports, you reckon, or what did you ever find out about that?
I didn't really find out anything about it, but you know that old turn is close to that there, and now I can remember when they were building that right on the line from Texas
right.
to this, because they came through my grandfather's farm.
Did if you were number six, did you have any relatives who served in World War II?
And aunts. Well, we could go back farther than that. This was based on my great-great-grandfather. He was in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And then an aunt who was in the Army in World War II. My brother was in the Marines during the Korean War. He was in the Marines part of the same time that I was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. Just wondered what, you know, was growing up and you had these soldiers around, and obviously it was a big... Do you remember when the war was over, the end of the war?
No, I don't even remember that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. teenagers, it's a kind of time where you got other things on your mind.
See, now they aren't interested. They're more interested right now after what happened. But before that,
the world was another place.
That's right.
That's right.
They couldn't tell you anything about it. I guess I was the same way when I was growing up. I knew there was a war, but the only part that I remember is the soldiers that were stationed close, coming to play with us.
Well, how about this aunt? Joining a woman joining the service was a new thing at that time. What did your folks think of her doing that?
They didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
The same when I joined the Air Force, my brother was in the Marines, and he objected to it very much on the basis of how they acted or what, you know. And my mother told him, she said, well, if she don't know how to behave herself in there, she don't know how to behave herself here. So in other words, she was saying that she was, it didn't
right.
bother her, and it
right.
didn't. And they had to sign for me to enlist.
So, yes, I guess if you were under 21, you had to get your parents' signature.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you joined right out of, you graduated in May
June.
Or June, and then that fall you went into...
in August.
In August. Mm-hmm. What made you pick Air Force as opposed to another branch of service?
I don't really know. You heard more about women in this, or a little bit more about women in the service than you had earlier. And maybe it was from living close to an airport, you know. But
did you ever want to fly yourself or learn how to fly?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it was more then, because I said we were never hungry, we didn't have all that much. And you were beginning to hear more about what you could gain by joining the service.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was it about what you could gain that you think most attracted you? Getting away from home, or had you been away from home much before?
No, I'd been as far as Virginia,
right.
And it was travel, mm-hmm. and see other things and learn all at the same time.
How did your folks, your mom defended you for your brother who was critical of your decision. How about your dad? What did he think
about it? He had no objections to it either.
Good. You signed up and you went to High Point is where you went
right.
down to, was
mm-hmm.
a recruiting station there in High Point?
Recruiting station in High Point.
You remember it was a woman recruiter or a...
No, it was a man.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any of your friends going into the service at the same time?
No, I was the only one.
Only one. You joined, it was August of 49.
Mm-hmm.
They had just, in 48, Truman, I think, had signed the order incorporating women into the service on a regular basis. And what you were joining was the Women's Air Force.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. Would you take the train down to Lackland in San Antonio?
Basic training.
Take the train?
Oh, yes, I took the train. Well, that's the story. See, I'd never been any further than Virginia. Got on the train at 10 o'clock at night in High Point. Knew nothing about a Pullman, you know, or how you were supposed to get ready to go to bed or whatnot. It wasn't too long before that a woman had been killed on a train by a porter. And that night... the porter kept coming to my bed wanting to know what I wanted. It scared me to death. What I was doing was rolling over and hitting the call button with my knee.
So you were inviting him to come back all these times, right?
I remember that. That was exciting. We had to change trains in Memphis, Tennessee, I believe. I knew nothing about that, but there was some soldiers on the train going to Fort Sam Houston and Lackland. And I was, at that point, I was the only one on that train, only woman. And they took care of me.
Well,
took
nice.
Me from one train station to the other. And then in Little Rock, Arkansas, three more got on that was going to Lackland. Women. And then they were friends, not all the way through. the service, because we got on the train at the on the same train.
Sure. One of the things that's neat about the service is that it throws you in with folks from all over, all different backgrounds, and you got that right off the bat. Sounds like from that train ride. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you remember about basic. What was it? What you expected? What was it like?
Well, we learned to march, and and we learned self-discipline, and which is one of the things that a lot of them now need.
Yeah.
And respect. And I rather enjoyed it. It didn't bother me. See, I was raised on a farm, so as far as the physical aspects of it, it didn't bother
me. That wasn't a problem for
you. Right, wasn't a problem.
And having eight brothers and sisters, community quarters, wasn't a problem for you either.
That wasn't a problem either. Nope.
Were your instructors men or women at this time?
Women.
Women. Mm-hmm. Did they give you, either there or when you signed up, a choice of either what you wanted to do or of places to go? Did you have a preference? Did you get to state? Or?
They gave you a test and all, but you really didn't have a choice.
So you couldn't say, I'd like to go to Hawaii and do whatever. You basically had to...
Well, after you went through basic and all, then you could, if they had an assignment open somewhere else, you could apply for it.
Okay.
That's how I got to recruiting duty in North Carolina.
Okay. When you were, if basic was basic, there wasn't anything that you remember terribly hard about basic for yourself then?
Not for myself, but it was hard on others.
Yeah.
So even some of the men. I've seen the men fall out on the ground when you were...
Were there men and women both stationed at Lackland when you were there?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And how restricted were you all in your movements? Did you have to stay on base during the week and you got weekends off? Or what was it like?
No, we only had 1 3-day pass while we were at Lackland because we were in basic.
Okay.
And they gave us one pass to go into Houston.
Okay.
Oh, pardon me, San Antonio.
Okay. You would have, were you at Lackland, I guess you would have already switched to Lowry there in Denver, Colorado, and you were there from probably October or so of 49 through
March
of 50.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to supply school. Tell me about that experience. Was that good for you?
Yes, because I think it helped me later on in life.
Were you learning like accounting procedures, or what was the material?
Well, we you had this, the process of where if this squadron needed something, they sent their requisition to you, and you looked to see if you had it or if they needed it, and all that. So it, in fact, I went to work for Sears mail order. That was after that, and I think that was part
great preparation for you on how
right.
to not get frustrated with all the paperwork that has
right,
to go
yeah.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you went in, and you were telling me that they changed the designation since then, but you were, I guess, a private coming out of basic. And then did you make PFC after supply school, or how did the rankings
shift? I don't remember.
Don't remember.
But... went in as a private, and then I became a PSC, then a corporal, and then a airman first class. I don't actually remember whether it was how the ratings are now, but you went from corporal to sergeant and then staff sergeant. And when I came out, I don't know whether I was a sergeant or a staff sergeant, to tell you the truth.
Right. You've never been outside of North Carolina except a trip to Virginia. You're going to Texas in the summertime, and Colorado in the wintertime.
Yeah, you got it.
That's pretty two extremes right there. That's pretty country out that way. I guess your restrictions were probably a little bit looser in Lowry than they were in San Antonio. What did you?
Right.
Did you get to know some of the women and some of the territory a little bit better out there?
Actually, you didn't get to know the actual people that live there, the locals. All that at that time when you joined the service. That more or less became your family.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that you met were all were in the service. I don't remember meeting any locals that you actually became close to in any of the places where I was, except when I was transferred to Fayetteville.
What about other women in the service? Did you talk about that you kept in contact with those folks from the train mm-hmm. all throughout? Did they also go out to Lowry, or where did you, who all did you hook up with when you were out there?
Part of us, the same ones that got on the train in Little Rock, went to Lowry with me also. Like I said, it's more or less a family.
How many women were in your group at BASIC? What was your size going through that?
That was probably 200. That was
200, and then again at Lowry, about how many?
About the same.
About the same.
Yeah.
But those were drawn from. At that time, how many different places were there for BASIC? And you know, because the numbers changed kind of generationally. You know, at one time, everybody who joined the Marine Corps went to Paris Island. Paris Island, East Coast, you know, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. Was there just one BASIC training spot for women Air Force? Was it all at Lackland?
It was all at Lackland.
Okay. So the Lowry group was... probably a couple of groups that had come through Lackland, and then they filtered and picked that from that. Then you were assigned back to Ellington Air Force Base in Houston, Texas.
Right.
Did you have any preference? Did you get a voice on where you'd like to be assigned, or they just...
Not at that time.
Not at that time. Your instructors at Lowry were also women?
No, part of them were men, part of them were women.
Because one of the things that's interesting as to how much that they, how independent they get at different stages.
We went to school, men and women together at Lowry.
So at Lowry you were with men in
right.
that class?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How was the competition between men and women?
I don't really remember there being any.
Everybody had something they had to learn and go from
right.
there. Mm-hmm. When you came out and went to Ellington, you worked in base supply. Tell me about your office, your day-to-day work situation. You have a man as a CO, or who was your CO at Ellington?
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How many were in the office where you all worked?
There must have been, serious for the whole base, there must have been 25 or 30.
And about how many of those were women?
Don't remember.
Okay. Was it? But it was just military personnel in that office. It wasn't civilians as well.
No, there were some civilians.
Okay.
Yes, women and men.
Okay. But you were only at Ellington for about 3 months or so? It's maybe 6 months. You weren't there very long before you went to Keesler.
I couldn't have been there too long.
Were you there when you were there? Did the Korean War start when you were in Houston in June?
Yes, because we had a softball team, and we had reached the. We only had one game to play to know whether we were going to be winners or not. Then they canceled our ball games. That was neat. They flew us from one. Based it the other, we play the wax, the waves.
Now, is that something you started as early as BASIC, playing on the softball team?
Oh no, I played ball all my life.
Mm.
That was at Ellington. So that was during the Korean War.
Ah.
Well, it started at that time.
That's a good. Now, where are you in this picture?
I'm holding the mascot right there.
Ah. So, had you played ball when you were in high school, too?
Yes.
That's great. Now, did they have semi-pro teams back then for women?
No. You mean when I was going to high
mm-hmm,
school?
Mm-hmm.
We played just like they do now. One school played the other.
Well, I know. I got they've got... this was fast pitch?
Fast pitch softball.
Uh-huh. is I have a couple of friends I went to school with who got full scholarships to go just on playing softball, which is pretty strong, I thought.
No, oh, that and our pitcher, man, did she throw that thing underhanded back.
So you was the season scrapped then at the end? Did they just cancel the season?
They canceled it. Mm-hmm.
Was there any thought of you ever going overseas, or what was the situation with? I guess were there limits on overseas duty if you were in the Women in the Air Force?
I never really got that far. Mm-hmm. Now they were fixing to send me to Greenland when I met and married Ralph.
Okay. I know now pretty much that like 1 in 7 years they ask you kind of do you an overseas tour of at least a year. They didn't want to keep you in circulation in that sense. You said though that you asked for a change in the kind of work when you were at Ellington. You wanted to do something different. That's when you got.
Well, I volunteered for the to transfer to Keesler.
Keesler, okay.
Yeah, it was still in supply, but it was.
Okay, you're still supply. You were a squadron supply officer at right. Keesler. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you were in Biloxi for how long? About another 6 months, down to June of 51?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Texas, you got familiar with. You're playing softball. What was it like being in the service during the first 6 months in Korea up to wintertime when they had such a terrible... I guess that was Chosin Reservoir. It was December of 50. And when things... And after 50, everything just kind of stuck for a while.
My brother was trapped with them at that. Chosin Reservoir.
Okay. So he was in the service. He was called back? Was he out of the...
No, he was in at that time. Okay. He had enlisted right before I did.
Okay.
He went in the Marines and I went in the Air Force.
But he went in before the war started, I guess he was called up.
Mm-hmm. He went in before the war started, but he was with that Marine Division.
How much contact did you have with him by mail and things like that?
By mail? Yes, it was... It wasn't an everyday thing, but I mean, you could stay in touch.
Right.
And
Your folks ever get out to see you where you were? Or?
Oh no.
Yeah. But did you ever get to go home on Christmas leave those 2 years when you were in?
No. And I didn't get to go home when my grandfather died while I was at Lackland. And I didn't get to go home. And then my grandmother died when I was at Lowry. And I didn't get to go home.
Yeah.
Well, you had to pay your own way if you went home. And at that time, I didn't have the money to go. And my parents didn't have the money to.
Right. So you had to go up pretty quick on the independence scale. You were in Keesler for about 8 or 9 months, it looks like. And then you... asked to go to Fayetteville to do a different kind of work. What was the work like at Keesler? Was it a similar, squadron wasn't quite as big as the base supply. How many were in your office at Keesler?
Well, there was just two of us, mm-hmm. two women, a WAC recruiter and myself, the WAF recruiter. But then they had our CO at the time was a man. And then there was, I can't even remember, there was a lot of men that worked there because it was an induction station. They also...
This is when you were at Fayetteville?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about in Keesler? How many folks were you working with in Keesler the little time you were there?
Well, there was only six of us.
Okay. What was it that you think made you switch to doing recruiter? You just were tired of the kind of work or was it just wanted to get out of Mississippi, or what was the challenge?
No, I just wanted to experience the different...
This is when it came out and you were able to do it. Okay. Two women in Fayetteville. When I talked to folks in World War II, the recruiting slogan was pretty simple. Whatever the branch was, it was basically free a man to fight. What was the recruiting slogan for the Women's Air Force in 1951?
It wasn't really a slogan. What you were actually doing then is promising the women, you know, at that time you could go to college in the service. It was actually telling them what you could do for them, you know.
So you were selling benefits like GI right. Bill and travel yeah. and...
Education.
Right. It was a recruiting station. Did you pretty much stay on the base, or how did you go with that? Did you go out in the community to try to...
Yes. I went to high schools. And radio stations. I had my own car. I covered the eastern part of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. So, they did not have... Did they have ROTC for women at that time?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think that was all later.
What would be... So when you go to these... You've got these materials. Tell me what kind of groups are you speaking in front of when you go...
High school graduates.
Just graduates. Well,
and then you also had... You visited individuals. If you got a letter or a call to someone that was interested, then you would go out and talk to them.
And then you had to go talk to their parents too, I guess, if yes. they were underage. So you mm-hmm. had to make sure the family was okay. Did mm-hmm. did you have a lot of folks that you had to reject for one reason or another? Or what was the acceptance rate? Was it pretty high for folks who expressed an interest?
Yes, because... Well, you didn't have anyone express interest, you know, that wasn't really qualified.
Right.
I don't remember ever rejecting anyone.
So there wasn't any problem with getting parental permission for those no. who wanted to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were there for about how long before you ran to the fellow in the other room? When did you meet your future husband?
I was probably in Fayetteville 2 weeks, because that's another story. See, I was... Raised with a family of nine, went in the service. We lived in barracks with 30 women. And so when I went to Fayetteville and we could live off base then, I was going to get my own apartment, live by myself. I did. I stayed there 2 weeks. And I looked for a room in a private home. And I went to Traverse 8 at the train station. And they told me, said, we have a room, but they specify they want a male. Because said they are renting one room to a male. They didn't want a woman because of all of the dainties that would be hanging up in the bathroom. They thought, I assured them I would not do that because I'd be coming home every weekend.
Right.
Fayetteville to Greensboro. So the lady of the house said, okay. And... I had been there maybe 2 weeks, and she had told me about Ralph, and we were from the same area, and she told him about me. I hadn't met him. He left before I did, and he got home after I did. And one evening, I walked home from work, and he was sitting on the front porch with the lady of the house, and she introduced us, and then he said, would you like to go home this weekend? And just like that, I said, yes. And then we started to leave. He said, can you drive? I'm sick. So yeah. I've been driving this straight shift car, right. you know, and he had this automatic.
So the first thing you did was go do something for him, okay.
Yeah, 6 months later, we were married.
That's good. You get a chauffeur right off the bat. That's pretty good. And he was at that time, we talked before off tape, he had been in the service. And then when y'all got married in December of 51, at that time you were not required, you had to get permission to get married?
You had to get permission to get married, yes.
Okay. Did you have to ask or did he have to ask?
I had to ask.
Okay.
Right.
You had to ask your CO. And you could stay in with permission except until you got pregnant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when that happened in May, that's when you decided you and service would part company at that time. And yet he went back into service at some point. When did he go back
into service? He was in the reserves for 40
years. Okay, 40 so he could say he was a reservist all that time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
Attended those meetings every week, you know, for 2 weeks training in the summer.
Right. When did y'all get back up to this area? After you left the service, did y'all move back up to Greensboro area, or when did you come up?
Well, he was working for Internal Revenue in Fayetteville, and he transferred back up here in May of 55.
Great.
So we've lived here, in May of 55.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. What was the hardest thing for you about being in the service?
It wasn't. What? I enjoyed it.
You
there
enjoyed
was no,
it.
There was no hard part about
did,
it.
Did you play some more softball later on when you were down at Fayetteville?
No.
That was this was the tops of your career at the end of it, right?
Right.
Was there ever anything that you did while you were in the service that you were that made you afraid or that you were worried about, other than that first night with the porter?
No, I wasn't afraid to fly. I don't remember anything. And then they put us through the gas chamber and run us through the field where they exploded the gas thing. But I wasn't afraid.
Right. Did you ever put your marching to use after doing it in basic? Most people I talked to, it was very limited.
No, we marched.
Did you?
Until I was transferred from, let's see. These were at Keesler. Well, I can remember marching in the Carteret, and it's so cold your feet was froze.
Mm. Had you ever thought about, at any of the time when you were in service, had you ever thought about making a career out of being in the Air Force?
No. When I met Ralph, you know, when we got married, when I went in, I did not have any intention of making it into career.
Right. Now you said you got three sons.
Right.
Did any of them ever express an interest in joining the service, since both of you had been in?
No. No, our oldest two had their numbers during Vietnam. And the oldest one was 135, so we were sweating that one.
Right.
But it was over before he was called.
Yeah.
So none of the three of them ever expressed any desire to be in the service. Now, one of them in particular wanted to fly, and Ralph talked him to fly. Mm-hmm. He got his pilot's license or solo, let's put it that way.
Right.
And driver's license off when he's 16.
They just recently, of course, with Afghanistan, I don't know, we haven't been getting all the reports, but I know that just they just started a couple years ago when they bombed Iraq, had the first female combat pilot in action, and I'm sure there's probably got some more of them that's been over there in Afghanistan here lately. What do you think about having women in combat positions, having been in the service? What do you think, that's a good thing?
If they can do it, yes. I think it would take a special person, though.
So that would have been that would not have been something that would have interested you?
I don't think so. That's hard to answer because we didn't have an option then.
Right.
But I don't think you could. I don't think every one of them could do it. Like I said, I think you'd take a special person. And if that's what they want to do, then go for it.
It sounds like the kind of work you were doing was either, at the end, very independent, or in an office environment with men and women such that there wasn't that much in the workday that was distinctively women's Air Force. Is that fair to say? In other words, that your CO was usually a man. And later, they integrated the services fully. There was not a distinctive women's Air Force. Do you think that there was an advantage, or what was lost when you integrated those services? Was there something distinctive about women's Air Force for you, as opposed to being just part of the Air Force?
I think it's more a question of the times.
Mm-hmm.
It was right
for
us then. But as everything else moves forward, you know, the way they do it now is right for them. You know, now the women can marry, have their children, stay in the service.
Yeah.
I said that one of the hardest things to get used to when we go back to Pope is seeing a pregnant uniform.
Yeah, having to worry about daycare arrangements before you get shipped overseas. That's an unusual thing to
think about. That to me would be hard.
Yeah.
Well, the women in the National Guard and all, and you know when they called up.
That's what they've got to handle.
You got a 6-month-old, year-old. I don't think I could have done that. I really don't. Yeah. I don't think I could have left my children like that.
I know that in the 50s that the Marine Corps women had to wear a particular shade of lipstick to match the red cord around their cap. Was there any particular dress things that the Women's Air Force required of you all?
No, other than your hair.
Your hair? Couldn't touch your collar?
It had to be off of your collar.
Okay.
And it could be to your waist, but you did it up in a braid, so it'd be off your collar.
And uniform-wise, I've got you in a softball uniform here. What was your impression of the uniform? Well, that looks pretty good.
I had no objections to their uniform. I liked the blues better, but you know, I couldn't find a picture of me in our new blues.
Yeah.
See, this was your old women's army uniform.
I was going to say, is that Pallas Athena on the...
And we just wore the Air Force insignias.
Is that a Pallas Athena on the collar and then you got Air Force on the side?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But while I was still in, the Air Force was issued what they called the new blues. But I couldn't find a picture of me. And I know I had some somewhere, but I have no idea what happened to it.
Right. So this would have been khaki, and then you have a summer... Did you have a seersucker in the summer, or what was it?
No, it was a... It was a khaki.
Right.
Yeah, this was winter. And then we had our... I found this, too. Then we had our...
Oh, yeah. Well, is this down in Mississippi, I guess? Looks like it.
That's in
from the pine trees, yes.
This is in Mississippi. This was your summer.
Okay.
Summer dress uniform.
Well, now your hair looks shorter here than these women. Is this you up at the front here?
I have no idea where I am in there. But the hair was kept short, as you can see.
Is that you in the front?
No, the tallest were in the front, and I was middle range. Because we had some that were 6 feet and more.
Good gracious. So 6 feet tall now. I'd been really tall back then. It is the nature of life that it's only in one direction, and you can't do things over again. But if you could, do you think you'd join the service again?
I'd do it again.
If a young woman came up to you today and asked your opinion on whether it's good for a woman to join the service, what would you tell her?
Well, I had that happen. You see, my brother, who objected to my joining, his daughter came along. She wanted to join. And so we had that discussion then, and I convinced him that, you know, women in there, men in there, they're just like men and women anywhere else. And actually, at that time, we had more restrictions than the women going to college did. See, we had bed check. We couldn't leave the base without permission. We had to sign out. We had to sign in. And we called her den mother. There was actually a sergeant or mother that lived in the barracks with us. And she did bed check every night.
So if you're a parent worrying about the kids' safety, they'd be better off going to the service than they would.
There you go. Oh, here's the one in the.
Oh yeah.
The summer.
Oh, that's great. And then you've got looks like your insignia is a little bit different from here. Mm-hmm. You got the wings up there. That's good.
Oh well, this is the.
Do you still keep in contact with the women that you serve with?
There's two that I send Christmas cards to. And a note, thank you.
I don't have pictures from that time. I might want to get one of each of those two styles of uniforms because one of the women who helped us get this thing started, she was the WAC, I guess WAC Brigadier General, and one of her big things was doing a history of women in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite interesting. So we're trying to get as many pictures and represent as to how things changed for women, mm-hmm. too. Well, I appreciate you sitting down with me today and going over this, because it always ends up in a happy story when the last thing you do in a service is find the fellow you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
That's
a good thing. Is there any other lessons that you think service life taught you? It's not like you were an independent person maybe to begin with, but this certainly made you more independent, didn't it?
Well, I think so, but I guess my whole family was kind of independent, because being raised on the farm and we all had to be, really.
Right. But other than finding your man for the future, what do you think the service gave to you most?
That's hard to say. It helped me later on. Mm-hmm. See, I stayed at home for 14 years after we were married and did not work. But then in 67, I went to work for the post office. In 74, I was appointed postmaster at Liberty. And I was postmaster at Liberty for 18 years. Retired 10 years ago. See, that gives you a little edge, being a veteran.
Right.
I was the first, in 1967, I had taken the test for the post office, and I was the first woman that the personnel had interviewed in Greensboro. I was the first woman veteran that the personnel in Greensboro had interviewed for a job.
One of the difficulties in this project is that the service really didn't do a great job of tracking women veterans. I guess they thought them as being sort of going to be so few in number that they didn't have to do an extraordinary effort to identify them. But it just 95, when they had this Women in Military Service Memorial. I don't know if you know about the WIMSA Memorial up in Arlington.
Oh, I see.
But they have to. They basically had to have women veterans self-report that they in fact had served, because either through that fire they had in St. Louis or whatever, they mm-hmm. don't have really very good records for who was right. serving in the service. So mm-hmm. I'm sure you probably were surprised showing up as a woman veteran at the post office. So you and your husband both have had distinguished in government careers and played back to your military service.
I think we've been very fortunate. We both retired, but Matt's been retired 22 years.
That's great.
And I've been retired 10. That's great. Once you retire, it becomes civil service retirement.
Well, I know that you're glad you haven't been dealing in the postmaster capacity with the mess of the last couple of months.
Very glad.
That's really, I think everybody's gotten renewed appreciation for the difficult job that is. So. Well, is there anything I have not asked you about your service experience that you've either found or you've gotten? I see you've got your ID card for me here.
I found that too, babe.
Oh, my goodness. That's great.
Which I could have, I don't actually need that one, but Golden Corral feeds all the veterans on Veterans Day. Did you know that?
No.
Well, I think
so. I shouldn't have gone to Golden Corral. I better see it would be crowded here.
Oh, it was. This time we were in Wilmington at the beach, and the couple we were with, he was a veteran, and we went back up to Wilmington to Golden Corral. We got there early, so we were lucky. But man, oh, it was crowded. But the nicest people, they were so nice. They had extra employees and all on that day.
Yeah.
You know, helping.
This card says that you were a corporal in July of 51. So.
Somewhere in there
you got bumped up.
I become a sergeant.
That's good. Stanford Gregg was your CO, I guess, on this thing. Well, I appreciate you doing this for us today. And if it's okay with you, and I'm going to say to our transcriber, thank you, transcriber. I may continue to run on just because I'm going to ask some questions about this stuff here. Is it okay then if I can take a couple of these things back with me and then make copies of them?
Sure.
Particularly these. You have a more variety of pictures. Unfortunately, a lot of folks I talk to, they all have got is their stock headshot when they first come out.
Oh my.
She downplayed this, but they were in the playing for the final game of the women's softball Air Force Championship.
When the Korean War broke, they canceled
the last game, so they never got to play the final game.
All right, well, you made it sound like it was much more of a local thing from your low keys.
They flew them
from one place to another.
Okay, well, we'll have to add that in the amendment that the modesty here creeped up.
That's me with this hair. Oh.
Is that your coach there in the middle there?
No, that's our commander of the base. Commander.
That's her brother. If you want a good shot of Keesler Field.
It's been funny if Keesler Field were over
here. Now, there's some. Who's that next to a WAF squadron? Is that you?
Well,
no, that's her.
That's me, but I'm not in uniform.
Well, next to that sign might be good for us to have a picture that says WAF, since there's not a WAF anymore.
There's Keister Field.
Yeah, that's Keister, but they're not like I said. I found pictures,
well,
but they wasn't in there.
That's your commanding officer.
No, that's Janice. She was just a friend. This is our ball team. Separate pictures of them. This is our sergeant.
That one right there.